When should I start?
Whenever you're ready.
Well, I guess I'll start now. The most important thing to know about any version of the GNU General Public License, or GNU GPL, is that it's a free software license. This is crucial to understanding it. The purpose of the GNU GPL is to assure users' freedom, because the goal of the free software movement is the liberation of cyberspace. Free software means that the users have four essential freedoms. Freedoms that every user of software should have. Freedom zero is the freedom to run the program as you wish, however you wish, for any purpose. Freedom one is the freedom to study the program source code and change it to do so that it does what you wish. Freedom two is the freedom to help your neighbor. This is the freedom to distribute copies when you wish, including publishing them. And freedom three is the freedom to help your community. This is the freedom to distribute modified versions when you wish, including publishing them. If you have all four of these freedoms, then the program is free software for you. If one of these freedoms is substantially missing, then the program is proprietary software, privativo, because it denies its users these essential freedoms. A privativo program is a social mechanism for subjugating its users, which is what makes it unethical and antisocial. And that's the reason why I launched a movement to put an end to that practice of keeping people in subjection. So, free software respects these four freedoms for the users. It's easy to write a very simple free software license that basically says you can do anything you want. The X window system traditionally was distributed under such a license. But this is not the best way to liberate all the users, because one thing that some people do when they get software under such a license is they make a modified or improved version and they distribute it as software privativo. And when that happens, their users do not have the four freedoms. They are subjugated. So this is a practice that undermines the freedom of the whole community. Therefore, having seen this, at the beginning of the GNU project, I conceived a way of preventing this problem from occurring. This method is what we call copyleft, or izquierda de copia. Because you can think of it as copyright flipped over. Whereas copyright is typically used for software developers to subjugate the users, to keep them divided and helpless, copyleft protects all the users and makes sure that they are free. And the way it does this is by forbidding the middlemen from taking away the freedom from the subsequent users. copyleft says, whenever the code reaches you, the freedom must also reach you along with the code. And it does this by saying that nobody can put himself in between you and the developer to strip off the freedom and pass along to you a proprietary program. So the GNU GPL was the first copy. Well, actually, it's a descendant of the first copyleft license. I wrote the first copyleft license in 1985, and it was called the GNU Emacs General Public License. And I put it on GNU Emacs. It was a license that said, this is the license for GNU Emacs. And here is how it worked. It said, GNU Emacs is copyrighted. Now, copyright law says that if something is copyrighted, people are not allowed to copy and modify it. But then the license said, you're authorized to copy this. You're authorized to publish or modify this. You're authorized to publish your modified versions. But there's a condition. And the condition is you must respect the same freedoms for everyone else. So the condition says whatever version you distribute must be available as source code and must carry this same license. That is copyleft. When you say you can change this any way you want, but the modified version has to carry the same license, that provision is copyleft. That's how we make sure that every user gets the freedoms that are spelled out in this license. A copyleft license for software also must require that the users get effective access to the source code. Giving users permission to copy and modify binaries without access to the source code does not effectively give users freedom number one, the freedom to change the program to do what they wish. This first copyleft license was called the GNU Emacs General Public License because it was only for Emacs. It said in it, this is the license for GNU Emacs. GNU Emacs is available under this license. In 1989, I revised it so that it could operate on any program without any change. So the license did not say which program it was about. Instead, you would simply drop this license into any program and put notices on the source files saying this file is under the GNU General Public License, and then it would be. So anyone could use the same exact license in any program. This was a very important advance, and not just because it was more convenient. You know, before that, we had the GNU Emacs General Public License and the GCC General Public License, and they were identical except for the name. Well, it only takes about 15 seconds to edit the name. That's not the point. The point is that the GNU Emacs General Public License and the GCC General Public License were different, and they were incompatible. The GNU Emacs General Public License said all modified versions must be under the GNU Emacs General Public License. The GCC General Public License said all modified versions must be under the GCC General Public License. So what if you wanted to merge Emacs and GCC? There was no legal way to do that, because this one says the combined result has to be under this license, and this one says it has to be under this license. And they're not the same license. It's impossible for the license of the combination to be this one and at the same time to be this one. So by designing a single license that could be dropped in identically into Emacs and GCC, we made these two programs license compatible. Another advance in the first version of the GNU GPL was a provision for upgrades. We knew that we would need to change it someday. So we put in a provision that said, if your program says it's covered by version 1 or any later version of the GNU GPL, then on some later date, when version 2 is released, your program will automatically, immediately be usable under version 2. And this was very important to avoid incompatibilities. Whenever you change a copyleft license, the new version and the old one are incompatible. Because each one says modified programs must be released under this license. So GPL version 1 says modified versions must be under GPL version 1. And GPL version 2 says modified programs must be under GPL version 2. Well, they can't be both. So we would have had a big incompatibility problem between the programs under GPL version 1 and the programs under GPL version 2. To prevent that, we created this way, we designed this way for people to let their programs advance automatically to GPL version 2. And it's a very good thing that most people did that. Because in 1991, we designed version 2 of the GNU GPL. And all the GPL-covered software, or just about all, advanced to version 2. The changes in version 2 were fairly small. There was one particular important change, which was the addition of Section 7, the liberty or death clause, as I've generally thought about it, which says that if someone has conditions imposed on him that don't allow him to distribute the software in a way that respects all the freedoms stated in the GPL, then he can't distribute at all. So if somebody sues you and offers you a settlement saying you can distribute the software but only as object code, or you can distribute the software but you'll have to make people who get it promise not to modify it, at that point the only thing you could do is stop distributing it. It is better for our software to be wiped out than for it to become privativo. Because the whole purpose of the free software movement is to liberate the users in cyberspace. If we fail to achieve that, then we've achieved nothing. Now, some people who are being a bit too literal-minded might say, isn't it better to give people software with some freedoms than no software at all? The problem is, if you think you have that option, you won't fight as hard as you can. This clause in the GPL essentially means we've burnt our boats. We're going to win, or we're going to fail completely. But we won't lose because we told ourselves we could content ourselves with something less than freedom. However, in the past few months, Evan Moglen pointed out to me that even if such an event happens, it doesn't really kill off the program. It might interfere with its use in certain places by certain parties. But the program will remain in existence and free for a lot of other people. So it turns out that the name Liberty or Death is a bit exaggerated, and we're going to change the name of that paragraph. But it's still, in its spirit, it's the right way to think about the issue. So, it was a few years ago that we became aware of certain issues calling for more work on the GPL. It was about 4 years ago that I began working with Evan Moglen on designing a new version of the GPL. And we did a lot of work, and then we laid it aside. But last year, we decided that things were becoming urgent. So we decided we're going to get it done now. And we made plans to spend several months working on it together. We released the first discussion draft in January, after several months of working together on the text. And we also designed a careful plan for how to request and then study and act on the feedback from various parts of our community, various kinds of users and contributors. Now, we did not decide to let the community decide what goes into GPL version 3. There is a fundamental reason for this. Because free software is very often attractive for purely practical reasons, we have collected tens of millions of users who choose free software purely for practical benefits and do not appreciate the freedom that we have given them. These are the kind of people who assume that you should choose between free software and proprietary software based on practical convenience, which is another way of saying that they value freedom at zero. How sad. How can freedom ever be safe when people don't appreciate it? People have had to fight for freedom over and over. And when people do not value their freedom, they're very likely to lose it. But that's the fact. Most of our community does not appreciate freedom. Most of the world let's go of vital freedoms whenever some crooked politician says to them, "I'm going to protect you from terrorists. Give up your freedom. Let me protect you." So if we wanted to do a good job of protecting freedom with version 3 of the GNU GPL, we could not let the majority of our users decide what would go into that license. But we need to listen to what they have to say, because there are lots of potential problems, and we're not smart enough to see them all. We need to get a lot of feedback. So we've worked out a way to try to do them both. Thank you. There are several primary areas where version 3 is different from version 2. One is in regard to TiVoization. Now, you've probably never heard the term TiVoization because I made it up. But it's an extremely important threat to our freedom. It's named after a product called the TiVo, which is capable of recording many television channels at once. And then the user can watch any of the shows later on. However, it's also designed to restrict the user in certain ways. There's no way to copy a recording out of the TiVo. And I think it erases them after a certain amount of time. And it also reports everything the user watches. So it's spying on the user all the time. Now, the TiVo, as it happens, contains a small GNU plus Linux operating system. It contains, therefore, several free software packages under the GNU GPL. And the GNU GPL requires them to make the source code available to the users, and I believe they do. The users can then modify the source code, compile it, and install it in the TiVo, at which point it won't run. Because the TiVo contains a special mechanism that notices if the programs have changed and refuses to run at all. It just shuts down. That is TiVoization. Designing machines so that if the user installs modified versions, they can't really function. Now, TiVoization turns freedom number one into a sham. Freedom one is the freedom to study the source code and then change it so that the program does what you want. Well, with TiVoization, this freedom becomes purely theoretical. Yes, you could change the program so that you could run it in some other machine, and that might be useful for someone, but you can't change it and run it in the TiVo, and this is a deliberate restriction that they impose on the public. The usual motive for TiVoization is because they're doing something else nasty. And that something else is called DRM, Digital Restrictions Management, Gestión Digital de Restricciones. In other words, the functionality of refusing to function, where the machine says, I don't want to let you see this file. I don't want to let you copy part of this file. I don't want to print this file for you because I don't like you. That is DRM. Now, freedom number one is the freedom to change the program to do what you want. If you want to change the program so that you can't view certain files anymore, if you want to change the program so that you can't copy parts of certain files or you can't print certain files, you should be free to do that. And GPL version 3 respects your freedom to do that. You can then distribute that modified version. GPL version 3 respects and defends your freedom to do that. But it will not let you take the same freedoms away from the people who get that modified version. GPL version 3 is designed to prohibit TiVoization. And the way we do this is by saying that whoever distributes the program must provide whatever keys are necessary to install modified versions of the program such that they can really do the job. Freedom Zero says you have the right to run the program as you wish for any purpose. This means you have a right to take your copy and use it on your computer for whatever purpose. This does not mean that you have a right to impose your purpose on other users. If your purpose is to restrict other people and you want to do it by giving them a GPL-covered program, then you're out of luck, because they, at that point, are the ones entitled to freedom in using their copies. They are entitled to the freedom to change the program and run it for any purpose of theirs. And you have no right to control what they do. That's what we say to some people who demand the right to use our software to impose DRM on the public. Yes, they have the right to implement DRM and distribute the software, but they don't have the right to impose it on the general public in a way that they cannot escape from. The GPL version 3 draft has other measures in it to try to stop DRM as well. But again, not by prohibiting people from implementing those malicious features, but rather by helping to safeguard users from laws, evil laws that most countries in Europe have already adopted, which forbid users to do that. There is a law in Spain, I'm almost certain, Spain has implemented the EUCD, right, Pablo?
Tomorrow?
Is there a battle going on here? In France, there is a big battle over the implementation of the DMCA. So I'm afraid if there's no battle in Spain, they're surely going to do something much worse than the directive requires. But the directive requires making it illegal to distribute, at least commercially, software that is capable of freeing users from the restrictions imposed by DRM. Well, GPL version 3 contains language specifically designed to say that this power is waived, giving users permission to make the other software that interoperates. Now, another area that GPL version 3 is designed to work on is that of patents. Now, the main motive for what we used to call the liberty or death clause is the danger of patents. Software patents mean simply patents that restrict what people can put in software. In general, a patent describes one or more ideas in fairly general terms, ideas for how to build something or how it can operate, and then says everyone is forbidden to use those ideas until the patent expires. When these ideas can be ideas you can implement in software running on general purpose computing facilities, then it's a software patent. And software patents are extremely dangerous because they mean you can write a program yourself and then get sued by somebody you never even heard of. Not just once, but maybe 20 times or 100 times by 20 or 100 different people you'd never heard of. Because a large program combines lots of different ideas. Thousands, if not even more. So, if 10% of the ideas are patented, that means the large program will infringe hundreds of patents, if not more. One large program has been carefully studied by a lawyer in the U.S. who looked for all the software patents that might prohibit some part of it. That program is Linux, the kernel of the GNU plus Linux operating system. He found 283 different patents applying to various techniques and features implemented somewhere in Linux. So this shows what the problem is like. Now, other free software licenses written in the past decade often contain an explicit statement granting patent licenses from developers and distributors to the users. We decided it was most reliable to do that too. Previously, we had figured that anybody distributing the program was implicitly saying he wasn't going to then sue you for doing what he had told you he could do. But we concluded it's safer to make this explicit. And so the GPL version 3 draft has an explicit patent license. We're doing some rewriting on how it works, which you'll see when the next draft is published, but it's going to contain an explicit statement so that the developers and distributors can't sue the people who then use the program that they distributed. Another main area of improvement in version 3 is extended compatibility with certain other licenses. First of all, we've decided to make explicit in the license what it means for other licenses to be compatible. That, we hope, will clarify a lot of uncertainties that people have had, which we've so far addressed with the frequently answered questions list. The idea is that there are some other free software licenses which are compatible with the GPL, meaning that if a program is released under one of those licenses, that license gives effectively permission to relicense under the GPL. There are two ways that can happen. Some licenses explicitly say you can also use this program under the GNU GPL. In other cases, it's because the license is so permissive that to relicense it under the GNU GPL is permitted. In any case, we've decided to explicitly describe this and then extend it a certain amount. We've made a list of certain kinds of additional requirements that may be added, some of which are trivial and we think they're okay anyway, but we might as well state it. But some are non-trivial, and this is a real substantive change. For instance, we've stated that it's okay to have a requirement saying that certain trademarks must not be used except as trademark law would normally permit. So this is a condition for use of the code under copyright law, but it refers to trademark law. The reason is there's some important free software licenses that have a requirement like that. So this way we're making them compatible with the new version of the GPL. Another requirement, kind of requirement that we see is patent retaliation. There are some free software licenses that say anyone who sues for patent infringement under certain conditions loses the right to use this software. Now, these requirements vary because they vary according to the precise conditions that they state. So there are different kinds of patent retaliation clauses. We have worked out which kinds of patent retaliation clauses seem legitimate to us. And we have explicitly allowed for those kinds of clauses to make, and that will make some additional licenses compatible with the GNU GPL. And there's another kind of clause we're making compatible, and that is what we call the Afero clause, because it was first used in the Afero GPL. The Afero GPL is a modified version of the GNU GPL, which has an additional requirement designed to make sure that if somebody runs a modified version on a publicly accessible server, that the users of the server can also get the modified source code. In effect, it's a requirement on public use of the program. So we thought about putting some kind of requirement like that into GPL version 3, but we decided that would be too drastic to put it on all GPL-covered programs. So I thought, well, let's make it a conditional requirement that has to be activated by something you can do in the program. You put something in the program to make that requirement apply to it. And then I realized once we designed this extended compatibility provision that the easiest way to implement that was to just use the extended compatibility provision. So this way, people will be able to put that kind of extended compatibility added requirement on their programs, on their code. And that way, it'll be there for their code and programs that contain their code. But other than that, for other GPL-covered programs, it won't apply. So this way, we don't need to design any special kind of control mechanism. If you want that clause on your code, you put it on your code. Now, one of the nice things that this has enabled us to do is we have been able to rewrite the lesser GPL, the GNU LGPL, so that it uses this clause. So there will no longer, the GNU lesser GPL will not have to restate most of the things in the GPL. It will say it's the GNU GPL plus these added permissions. Now, one of the other benefits that we get from this is that we make it clear that anytime someone adds extra permissions on top of the GNU GPL, that when you modify the program, you can take off those added permissions. You can release your version under the strict GPL and nothing more. We've also made it clear that it's impossible, it's self-contradictory, to try to add any requirements that are not in our list of what's allowed. From time to time, people do that. They say, this program is available under the GNU GPL, except you can't use it commercially. Now, this is a self-contradiction. The result is nonsense. You can't tell even what that really means, because it's not clear what the license would be for modified versions. With GPL version 3, it's going to be clear that any added restrictions that the GPL doesn't allow for can be removed. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Most people who are recording a speech don't aren't organized enough to warn me to pause. And as a result, there are gaps in the recording, which could easily have been avoided. So those are the main areas, the big areas of change. But there are some smaller ones. We've done some rewriting of what we call the system library exception to try to make it clearly cover the possibility of distributing a version of our software with a non-free operating system, but at the same time to limit it so that this can't be abused. The kind of abuse that we're concerned about would be to find a way to make extensions in the functionality of the program itself, which are part of the non-free operating system, because the goal of copyleft is that all the modifications and extensions to the program must themselves be free. We've done a lot of rewriting designed specifically for internationalization of the license. Instead of talking about copying and distribution, we use the term propagation. Propagation means basically copying and everything else that might have the same results as copying. And then we give conditions in terms of propagation rather than copying. And we also have the concept of propagation that can result in others having copies. And we make conditions for that instead of distribution. And this, to a substantial extent, insulates the GPL from differences between copyright laws in different countries, so that we'll get the same result as far as is legally possible in all countries. Another area where we made some change is in the issue of distributing binaries now and providing source code later on request. There is an idea. We decided that if somebody is distributing the binaries as part of a GPL-covered program, he must continue providing the source code on request for as long as he continues to provide any other kind of customer support for that product. Because obviously it won't be very hard to include this particular kind of customer support. And we made a change in the way termination of the license works. In GPL version 2, if someone violates the license, it terminates automatically. At that point, if he wants to have permission once again to distribute or modify the program, he needs to ask for it, or copy the program, or anything. Anything that he needs the license to do, he must ask to get permission back again. With version 3, we've made a change. The change is that the developer has to tell the user that he has done something wrong. And he has to do this within 60 days of some violation. Now, if the user continues to violate the license, the developer can always send this notice. But if the user stops violating the license, and then 60 more days go by, at that point, it's no longer possible for the developer to notify him anymore. So in other words, if the user recognizes the violation and stops, there's a sort of statute of limitations. Now, once the developer has put the user on notice, at that point, the developer can terminate the license at any time. So what that means is, the user then has to start negotiating with the developer and saying, please don't terminate my license. What do you want from me? So what this means is that anyone who if someone continues violating the license, this change really makes no difference. You'll have to say, I see you're violating the license. And then you can terminate it. But if somebody violates the license by mistake and sees it and he fixes it, then 60 days later, if he hasn't been notified, he doesn't have to worry. And if someone has been violating the license with an entire GNU/Linux distribution, which, right now, if you did that, there are thousands of GPL-covered programs in a GNU/Linux distribution, which means your license for all of them has been terminated automatically, and how in the world are you going to contact all those developers to beg them to give you permission again? Whereas with this change, what will happen is, some of them will say, we see you're violating the license, this is the notice. At that point, you'll say, oops, you'll fix it. And during the 60 days that follow, some additional developers may decide to put you on notice. But since they see you did it by accident and that you fixed it, they'll probably say, okay, I won't terminate your license, and then you're okay. And the point is, with the thousands of other developers who didn't do anything, you're not in trouble. And with the ones who have put you on notice, at least you know where to reach them so that they can say eventually, we see you fixed it, we won't terminate your license, you're okay. So the main purpose of this provision was designed to help people who accidentally violate the requirements and fix it without interfering with the ability to enforce the license legally against willful violators. Now, in another month or so, we're going to release the next discussion draft. And at that point, we will once again ask for public comment on the changes. We will be doing this through the site gplv3.fsf.org, the same site as before. That site contains a mechanism that people can use to pick a part of the text of the license and associate their comment with it. At that point, some discussion committees will start looking at these comments and studying the issues that they raise and passing them on to me to work on together with Evan Moglen and the other lawyers that work with him, and thus we'll once again see what further change is needed. When we publish the new discussion draft, we will also publish a new rationale document giving the explanation of the changes that we will have made since the first draft. And we will also publish, I think it will be ready at the same time, but I'm not sure, responses to all the issues raised by the comments that we received on the first draft. Now, I'll give you a bit of a preview of the changes that will probably be in the next discussion draft, a very general preview. We decided to rename the liberty or death for the program clause to no surrendering others' freedom, which is a precise description of what it does. You're not allowed to surrender freedom on behalf of the people who are going to get the program from you. If you are carrying a portable surveillance and tracking device, please turn it off. They have already tracked you here. They already know that you're listening to me. So there's no need for you to keep telling them that you're still here. And if they want to listen to what I'm saying, we're going to publish the video recording anyway. They don't need to turn on your portable surveillance device to do it. So, we decided to get rid of a requirement that some people have confused, that says that if you distribute you must distribute all the keys that are necessary for another program to read this program's output. Because we figured that as long as we succeed in preventing TiVoization, you can always modify the program so that it writes its output in unencrypted form someplace else. And then you can write another program to read it without needing any keys at all. Some people have got the idea, we don't think it's true, that this part of GPL version 3 prohibited things like the GNU Privacy Guard, whose purpose is to use encryption for privacy. And that's not the goal at all. The goal, again, was fighting against imposing DRM in such a way that you can't escape from it. And so that's another change that some people will like. Trying to think what other... Oh, and we're going to ask people to consider the idea of allowing someone to distribute binaries in a physical product and keep the corresponding source code available on a network server instead of offering mail order. Version 2 of the GPL says if you distribute only binaries, one option is to distribute only binaries together with a written offer to send the sources later. The first draft of version 3 has a similar provision. What we're considering now is an option that says you can distribute just the binary, but you must tell people here's where they can get the source code on the net, and that must be kept available for as long as you just for 3 years plus whatever. So the argument for this is that nowadays, for everyone in the world, this is more convenient than the mail order. In the past, it wasn't. In the past, it was very often that, you know, downloading the data would have been unbearable for most people. Nowadays, I'm told there are services that will download something off the net for you and mail it to you on a CD, and it doesn't cost very much. So this is something we will be asking people to give feedback on. We found it necessary to redesign the mechanism of the explicit patent license. So the next draft will work differently, but it will do the same job. And we introduced the concept of conveying to mean for propagating copies to others. So we'll be using, instead of talking about, where GPL version 2 talks about distribution, and draft 1 talks about propagating in such a way that others may get copies, we will be talking about conveying copies. So it should make the thing much easier to read. We're still putting the finishing touches on the second draft. And I guess that's it. So now I will answer questions. There's one other thing I should say. It's a very general thing. Governments that impose harsh restrictions on their citizens, backed up by cruel punishments on behalf of corporations, are showing that they're not really on the citizens' side. They're not working for us. They don't represent us except with lip service. They represent the corporations, and their goal is to rule us. These governments are democratic only in name. And since governments get their legitimacy from ruling on behalf of the people and protecting the people's rights, these governments lose their legitimacy. And I'm very sad to say that almost all governments around the world have done this. Government of the people, by the flunkies, for the corporations. And it makes me very sad. So now I'll answer questions. Please speak louder.
And take the microphone,
and I really have trouble hearing you. I am half deaf.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. In GPL version 2, for non-source distribution, there are three options, but two real options. One of them is to distribute the source code with the binaries. The other is to distribute an offer for source code with the binaries.
Yes.
Under version 2, both of these options are permitted for internet distribution as well.
That's never been our understanding, and that's why we made it clearer. It was never supposed to, the option of offering to provide source code later is not supposed to be for internet distribution. It's for physical distribution.
Can you explain to me what the reasoning is there?
Well, if you're distributing on the internet, there's another option in GPL version 2, which is you put the binary and the source up on the net side by side, and you let people copy them one or both as they wish. That's the option for internet distribution.
Might that not use a lot of bandwidth? Might someone prefer to send a CD?
He uses as much bandwidth as the user wants. The point is you put them both on the server, and the user can download the binaries, and the user can download the source, one or the other or both. So the user decides, the user downloads as much as he wants. No, it says explicitly that users are not you don't have to make sure that the users get the source if they get the binaries. You just have to put them both up for download.
I was actually thinking more, and this is a complaint I've heard, but not that we necessarily have to listen to it, of upload bandwidth. At least in the United States, most broadband services are designed so that you are a consumer. Their downstream bandwidth is much greater than their upstream bandwidth.
Well, you know, I pity the poor distributor who has a server and can't get the source code to it. I mean, but he can find some way. He can go to some place where they have more bandwidth. He can buy more bandwidth. He can mail a CD to his server site. There's something he can do. He can wait a little while longer before he releases it. Aren't the binaries generally much bigger than the source code anyway?
I don't think so anymore, actually. But they're about the same. They're within the same order of magnitude, certainly.
Well, then, obviously, this is no disaster. And it's a price society should pay to make sure users get the source code frequently.
Thank you.
When you ask the clauses to make it more compatible, were you thinking about some particular licenses?
And yes and no. The main decision was based on what is ethically acceptable to add to the GPL. But in looking at details, yes, we tried to make certain licenses compatible, most importantly the Apache license. It will be very useful to have compatibility between the GNU GPL version 3 and the Apache public license.
Thank you.
But also, we're thinking about licenses that will be written in the future. We hope to influence license developers in the future to make their licenses in a way that's compatible with the GNU GPL.
You referred to GPL, LGPL, and the new version of that. Will that become public at the same time as the next discussion draft of GPL?
I have trouble. I couldn't even hear the words of the first half of that.
Okay. You referred to LGPL. So I was wondering that.
I can't hear.
You referred to LGPL.
Oh, LGPL.
Yeah. So
you have to really be careful with your consonants if you want me to hear you.
Okay. So is the version of LGPL coming out at the same time as the next
version? Yes. We'll publish our draft of the revised LGPL at the same time as the next draft of the GPL.
Did you say LGPL will disappear?
Well, it won't disappear, but it will be, instead of being a license that starts from scratch and is self-contained, it will be much shorter, and it will say, this consists of the GNU GPL plus the following added permission.
You have no plan.
I can't hear you. Loud, please.
You have no plan to replace LGPL licensed GNU software into GPL licensed software with exception, right?
I couldn't hear all. Yes, the LGPL will say, I am the GNU GPL plus these added permissions. So it will say this is version whatever of the LGPL, but instead of being self-contained, it will say, I consist of the GNU GPL plus some added permissions. And the added permissions will essentially unchanged from the current LGPL. I think I recall that there's literally no difference.
Okay, thanks. I think one of the things that people like about GPL version 2 is that it's one license, so whenever you talk about GPL, you know what you're talking about. And with that version 3, you have these options. You can add something. You have the ability to add something that only applies to that particular thing you're writing there. Are you afraid that this makes it more likely to be used, or does it have any impact?
How many people use GPL version 3 will depend on lots of different things. But I think that this is a price worth paying for the added compatibility, which will be tremendously beneficial for the society. Also, we have a requirement that says when there are added permissions or requirements on parts of the program, there must be a central list which mentions all of them, which means it won't be hard to find all the terms. Also, because any added requirements have to fit into certain narrow categories, for most purposes they don't make any difference.
Thanks.
Yes.
So, what do you think when these new licenses are ready?
I can't hear all you. What?
So, when new licenses version 3 is ready to be used?
We don't know. Basically, our plan is to have another draft in October.
Okay.
And that may be the final draft. That may be the actual license, or it may be another discussion draft. It depends what problems people find in the coming draft. We don't know.
Okay.
So, okay. One must be flexible about this.
Yeah. The second question is that when people start to implement the new licenses, there are quite big distributions that use GNU GPL license at the moment. So if they start to upgrade their licenses to the new versions, how that will happen in practice?
Well, in practice, any program that says it can be distributed under GPL version 2 or later will automatically be available under GPL version 3. But when people make subsequent releases, they could change that to say GPL version 3 or later. That's what we will do in subsequent releases of GNU software.
Okay, so it basically, when you have an application consisting several hundreds of components that are several hundreds, for example, of components.
I can't hear. There's a word you're saying I can't hear. I can't recognize your consonants.
Okay, so there's a very big distribution or application that uses several components that has GPL version 2 license. So people don't need to modify their code or application.
It depends. It depends. There are some programs that say GPL version 2 only, and those will be still be available under GPL version 2 only, unless the developers get together and change it. But those that say GPL version 2 or later will automatically be usable under GPL version 3 when it is official.
Okay, so it depends on that one sentence.
Right, but remember, a distribution that contains many programs is a collection. Mostly those programs are independent of each other. And each one does what it does.
Yes.
The fact that they're together in one distribution doesn't change anything.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit afraid of that. Those independent components of open source projects, they update their licenses individually.
Right,
so
we don't talk about open source here.
Okay.
We do not work on open source. We didn't design the GNU GPL to be open source. We're not designing GPL version 3 to be open source, because open source is the name of a different philosophy, one that doesn't place the values of freedom and freedom to cooperate at the forefront. For us, those are the priorities. What we do, you won't be able to understand it if you think in terms of open source. And if you describe what we do as open source, the people you're talking to won't understand it either.
Sorry, my English. I'm with this digital rights management issue.
It's digital restrictions management.
It's very delicate. You are saying that digital restrictions management is for proprietary software, but not for free software.
Not exactly. What I'm saying is that digital restrictions management represents an attempt by certain few to impose their control over everyone else, and that this is wrong, and that because their goal is to control other people, the next thing they do almost always is they try to stop users from changing the software. In other words, they try to take away, for practical purposes, freedom number one. So, we have decided to defend freedom number one. That is, the freedom to change the software so that it does what you want. We do not forbid the implementation of DRM. That is, we do not, and GPL version 3 will not, forbid people to modify the software so that it fails to do certain things. What we will insist on is that whoever does this and distributes the crippled program respect the freedom of other people to add what is missing.
So government laws are not GPL laws.
I can't hear you. I do not understand the words you are saying.
Government laws are not GPL laws.
I don't know. Now I heard the words, but I don't understand. Well, I have no idea what it would mean to be GPL laws. I'm sorry.
Copyleft laws, our laws are not government laws.
Are not? I don't understand.
It seems you say that free will is apart from government laws, it seems to me.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. You must have misunderstood something, but what you're saying is so vague. You are using an adjective to modify a noun, and that is, but the relationship between the two is not clear. I literally have no idea what you mean when you say that. Sorry.
Okay, don't worry.
Proliferation of licenses sometimes makes it difficult. What do you have in mind to help to reduce this current proliferation of licenses?
There's nothing I can do about it. Mostly new licenses are developed by companies that are not particularly interested in respecting users' freedom. And I have less influence with them than with any other part of our community. I hope that they will release their software under GPL version 3, but you'll have to convince them, not me.
I have two questions. The first one is what I have understood of Mercedes' question. I think what she asked is she understood that in your explanation about DRM and T-verification, she understood that GPL trumps national law somehow.
No, it can't.
Was that the question?
In general, it can't. I don't know if that's her question, but if it's your question, the only time we can do that is in situations where the developer or distributor of a certain program legally has certain powers. And if so, that developer or distributor can waive those powers too. And if he can waive those powers, GPL version 3 will say, by distributing this program, you waive the power over this program. That's the only case in which the GPL can override a national law. It's when the national law itself gives the distributors of a program the option to do so.
And my question is, when programs that have been licensed under the terms of GPL version 2 or later pass automatically to version 3, what happens to the new restrictions added? I guess they're optional in the new license.
Here it is. First of all, when the program that says version 2 or later doesn't have them. Now, if you want to change it to merge in, say, something under the Apache license, you can do that if you're using it under version 3 of the GPL. But you can't do that under version 2. So when you do that, you have to change it to say version 3 or later. However, as long as you don't merge in anything under the Apache license, you could, if you wish, continue having it say version 2 or later.
Does anyone can have any restrictions?
Not any restrictions. Yes, right. But since it's only GPL version 3 which permits that, when you do that, you'd better take away the thing that says GPL version 2. That would be, could someone note down that we should have a FAQ answer about that, Novalis? That would be a useful thing to clarify for people.
Yeah, as for translations, will there be versions, I don't know, in Spanish, French, official versions?
We're not sure.
Of V3?
It's very dangerous to make an official translation of the GPL. What if we made a horrible mistake? Now, if it's a Spanish translation, I can read it. That doesn't mean I will understand its legal consequences. You know, producing a translation in Castellano would be about as much work as producing the original English version. Well, maybe it'll only be a quarter as much work. That's a lot of work. And then what happened, because after all, although, you know, I've got some idea what these words mean in regard to U.S. copyright law from many years of discussing these issues with copyright lawyers. But that doesn't mean that I have the faintest idea. You know, I probably don't even know the vocabulary of law in Castellano. Those are words I don't know. So, and now imagine what happens when someone wants a Polish translation. So this is a very hard problem.
But then, couldn't the FSFE work on it? Or
I can't hear you.
Couldn't the FSF Europe work on
that? Well, the thing is, maybe yes and maybe no. You see, I'm not sure. The FSF Europe, how would they work on it? They'd get lawyers to do it. But, you know, who are those lawyers? And to what extent do we know we can trust them? It's, you know, it's really hard. Because a mistake could be a worldwide disaster. Now, I've got the idea maybe we could release a translation approved only for one country. So we could release a translation in Castellano approved only for Spain. And then separately we could release one only for Mexico. And it might be the same. But even if it's the same, the point is it's got to be checked for Mexico. Because the point is, but the crucial thing is, we don't want it to be valid in the U.S. or China, India, Brazil, and so on. Because if we release 50 translations, and each one of them is valid everywhere, that's 50 chances for a horrible mistake to happen. You know, even if we were just as reliable with each translation as we are with the original, still, I don't want to have 50 times the chance to make a mistake. So we're surely going to make, you know, so this is one way to limit it. Now, another question is, would it be okay to release a time-limited translation? Now, I'm not sure about this. The master GPL cannot be time-limited. If we give you certain freedoms, it must be forever. However, maybe it's okay if the translation is time-limited and will be replaced, and may be replaced with another translation. So this way, maybe we can correct errors. Errors are much less dangerous if we can correct them. But it's not clear that it's acceptable even for a translation to be time limited, to not be forever. It's a very hard job. Other questions?
Can Can I make my question in Spanish?
Sí, pero soy medio sordo también en castellano.
Gracias. Una de las preocupaciones de los hacktivistas estos últimos años ha sido que a la hora de desarrollar programas, gracias a la Libertad Cero, programas que habían sido diseñados para el bienestar social, se podían...
¿Para qué social? No oigo.
Bienestar.
¿Sí?
Bienestar social. Se podían utilizar para todo lo contrario, por ejemplo.
¿Para todo lo qué?
Para todo lo contrario. Para algo diferente.
¿Contrario a qué?
Al bienestar social.
Sí.
Sí.
Pero un programa...
Mi pregunta...
En general, debe ser... disponible para cualquier uso.
Sí. Ahora mi pregunta es, ¿qué opina usted acerca de que programas, que se puedan diseñar programas desde plataformas new, que con, por ejemplo, con la versión 3 de la GPL?
Pero no comprendo desde plataformas GNU. ¿Qué quiere decir desde
plataformas? Desde el sistema operativo new.
Entonces. Son programas nuevos, pero corren
sí.
En el sistema New con Linux.
Son programas hechos a partir de sistema New.
A partir de, tampoco es claro, pero
no,
son programas nuevos
sí.
O son versiones modificadas de...
Son programas nuevos.
Ok,
programas nuevos, por ejemplo, programas privados.
Entonces la plataforma no tiene importancia. No entra en el asunto.
Mi pregunta es que el sistema New puede tener varias utilidades. ¿Qué opina usted?
¿Puede tener qué?
Varias utilidades.
Sí.
¿Qué opina usted acerca de que se pueda utilizar el sistema New para desarrollar DRM?
¿De qué?
Para desarrollar DRM.
Es malo, pero para ser software libre no puede restringir el propósito de su uso. También el editor Emacs, or since you can have translation, a free program must be available for all kinds of use. That's fundamental. For authors to try to restrict what users do in their own lives, in their own activities, is completely unacceptable. Any program, unless it serves only trivial purposes, like a game, can be used for evil purposes, just as a pen or a typewriter or a telephone can be used for evil purposes. I don't think that we should allow pens or telephones or typewriters to come with requirements about what you can use them for, nor general purpose programs. That is its own form of tyranny. A program with such restrictions would not be free software. We will not allow such restrictions to be added to any version of the GNU GPL. The most common restriction that they propose is restriction against military use. Well, I would be extremely unhappy if my friend Sargento Mayor Bravo, Torres Bravo, in Venezuela, could no longer install new versions of our software on the Army's servers. The Army of Venezuela may be necessary for resistance against an invasion someday from you can guess where.